Hey, welcome back to the Sports Ticket here on a Thursday. And on Thursdays, we talk to the voice of the KU Jayhawks. That's Brian Haney. And brought to you, as always, by Anderson Insurance Agency there in Beloit. Well, Brian, kind of a mixed bag of things since we spoke with you last week. And, you know, the game, football game, didn't go so well for KU against Oklahoma. But prior to that, a big night for KU men's basketball. So why don't we just start there with the positive of hanging the banner. And somebody made a couple half-court shots. And it seemed to be a festive atmosphere. And people get their rings, and everybody's having a good time on Friday night.
That was a great time. And, yes, the annual tradition of Bill Self offering a $10,000 opportunity to a couple of students, it went well. One young lady picked Mario Chalmers to shoot the shot for her, and a couple of tries, he banked one in. Then there was another young man that wanted to shoot it on his own, and on his second try, pure swish. So that was pretty sweet. They both won $10,000. Amazing stuff. I wish they could pull the announcers out of the stands for those opportunities. That was pretty big time. But yeah, it was neat to see that. Obviously, neat to see the ring ceremony. And in watching the Golden State Warriors ring ceremony a couple of nights later, the other night here in the NBA on their opener, it was just cool to see our team get their moment in the sun, to see Jalen Wilson address the crowd like Steph Curry did for the Warriors. And you know, the rings are obviously a little bit different on the collegiate level. The cubic zirconium shines bright, but not quite as bold as the Golden State Warriors gold rings and diamonds. But, man, these kids, they will cherish that for the rest of their lives. And to see a sixth banner dropped in that north end zone of Allen Fieldhouse. You know, every year as a Jayhawk is a great year when you win conference titles 16 out of 19 years under Bill Self. But to have it be a truly banner year and be one of those all-time six teams in the north end zone is truly rare air, special stuff. So we're really proud of them. And at the same time, Bill Self has been saying this for a while. It's time to turn the page. Time to get ready for the next challenge. And it's pretty incredible to think that everything they lost, three starters and their top reserve in Remy Martin, you're still preseason top five in the nation.
Yeah.
And, you know, splitting hairs on who the team to beat in the Big 12, as I know Baylor technically edged him in the coaches' poll by essentially 3 points, one vote. But, you know, you look at it on the national landscape, and rarely do you see a tie, but it's Baylor and Kansas tied for fifth. So it's shaping up to be a barn burner of a season, and we're so proud of these Jayhawks that, you know, accomplished what they did, lost what they did, including two NBA first-round draft picks. And yet, as Bill Self always says, faces change, expectations don't. Here they are right back in the mix 6 months later.
Yep, absolutely. And the exhibition season will start here in a couple of weeks with KU basketball, and it will be fun to see them develop, and they will be a much different-looking team. But as we know, at Kansas, you don't rebuild. You simply reload. Let's talk about the football team. You know, you and I talked about the OU game last week, previewing it. I did not have a good feeling about this game. I told Dusty that. I told others around me that. Reason I did not have a good feeling about this game was just the clip I played for you from Brent Venables last week. I felt like that was a rally the troops together. Everybody's against us. We're going to go ahead and rally in this locker room. Also, when you get your quarterback back, that helps you a ton. As we know, we see teams at every level, college, pro, and high school, when they lose their quarterback. Look at the Miami Dolphins, for crying out loud. You go 3-0, and all of a sudden you're 3-3. It's so important to have your quarterback. And KU's fortunate. They have a serviceable, very solid backup quarterback in Jason Bean. But I knew, and I think you knew too, that you were going to get Oklahoma's best shot. Man, they set the tone right off the bat. I mean, we were able to go to the game, beautiful day for football, and it was just absolute come out, 100 miles per hour, super fast paced, not subbing by Oklahoma for the most part, and they went right down and scored. They set the tone, and it was kind of a boat race there for a while, and KU held firm 14-14, and the next thing you know, OU gets a couple of stops, a great, amazing interception by their linebacker. That was a huge play in the game, and next thing you know, KU's down by 21. Fought and got all the way back eventually within, you know, 10, had a few opportunities maybe if they can make a play on defense. But what was your feeling going to the game? I would imagine you probably expected OU to come out with their best shot. And are you disappointed with the way the defense did play? Because, you know, they did get three turnovers, but as Lance Leipold jokingly said, well, there were 100 plays they ran, so we're bound to get a few. Yeah. And the stat that really stands out to me, Brian, and everybody's talking, you know, a lot of people talk about 100 plays, 700 yards of offense they allowed, almost 500 in the first half. Here's a stat that stood out to me and blew my mind. Oklahoma was 16 of 20 on third down. I don't know if I've ever seen a pro team or a college team do that well. 16 of 20 on third down, 80%. Hard to win when you do that.
Yeah, no doubt. That was incredible. And I think that while we can point to the three takeaways and point to some amazing individual plays like the back-to-back stops inside the one, the goal line stand late in the first half, it shows you how hard this team was competing and how hard they were fighting. At the end of the day, it was still our worst game of missed tackles and additional opportunities because we couldn't get off the field, couldn't get a stop. And, you know, Lance Leipold would be the first to tell you that. Having said that, you know, it is great to see Hayden Hatcher get a couple of fumble recoveries. It's great to see Kenny Logan continue to play the best football of his Jayhawk career. And in the face of losing Kobe Bryant, who in my mind is one of your top five, you know, most important guys still standing right now, a third consecutive week of losing a really impactful player. You know, we saw Kalen Gervin step in. We saw, you know, the team handle adversity and you know, still compete to where they were in the game late. But bottom line is they got to be better on that side of the ball. I know Lonnie Phelps did not play a ton of snaps in that one. And, you know, we hope to get him back closer to full strength this week. But, it happens at this stage in a football season where attrition starts to mount against you health-wise, and Kansas has been dealt as tough a hand as any here in the last 3 weeks in terms of who they're losing and in what key stretches they've lost them. But, you know, you got to find depth and other options when that's the case. Jason Bean had a solid game. I think his stats were a little inflated compared to, you know, his actual performance. Obviously, four touchdowns is great, but a couple of interceptions, a couple of plays where maybe the wrong read was made, stuff he knows he could do better and will have to do better if Kansas is going to win at Baylor. But the good news is I think that, you know, there's real optimism internally that, you know, we're going to see Jason Bean in the near future, but Jalen Daniels at some point next month, and that's really encouraging. That's nothing official that's been said on that, but I just think there's growing optimism, and that was partly tweeted out before the game by some national writers that maybe by the Oklahoma State game you could see a return for Jalen Daniels. So that's obviously very different than some of the initial reporting. Yeah. So let's hope Jason can go out there and have a better week this week, and Kansas's defense can be much more consistent and sound this week, because this is a Baylor team that, though they were ranked as high as number 9 prior to their loss to BYU, I still think they're very much in the wheelhouse of Kansas. I know they've won 12 in a row in this series, but this is a Kansas team very capable of going down and getting a win on Saturday. And wouldn't you love to just get this bowl eligibility pressure out of the way, because it's one of those deals where with each passing week that you don't get it, it becomes more and more pressure-packed and tighter around the collar, you know, for these guys, you know, knowing, you know, what still lies ahead. And there's plenty of opportunities that you feel like are 50-50 games if you've got Jalen Daniels back, but you'd hate to get into a situation where a two-game losing streak becomes three, a three becomes four, and next thing you know, oh my gosh, we got to win, you know. And so that's what my hope is for this team. Get it out of the way, and then let's start talking about, you know, style points, 7 or 8 wins when it's all said so.
Absolutely. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you as always on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill and Bullitt, or call them at 738-5701. Well, since you mentioned it, let's jump into this part of it. That is, can you give us a bit of a status update? You told us about Jalen Daniels a little bit, but Daniel Heischall, we really haven't heard much about his situation per se, other than he's going to be out for an extended period of time. Lonnie Phelps, you mentioned, didn't play nearly as much as you would love to see him play at Oklahoma against that offense. Jacoby Bryant, when I first saw it on the Jumbotron in the replay, when I saw it live sitting in the stands, I thought, oh, dear Lord, I thought he broke his leg or his ankle or something like that. And then he put on Twitter basically kind of downplaying a little bit, like it wasn't as bad as some people thought it was. What can you tell us about Heischall, Phelps, and Bryant? You've already filled us in on Daniels.
You know, coach isn't saying anything officially on any of these guys other than if they practice or not. And so, you know, my expectation is that with Kobe, it's a week-to-week thing, not a more extended injury than that. And so with a bye week on the other side of the Baylor game, it would be my hope that he's back at full strength by Oklahoma State. And that's not to say they've ruled him out for this week by any means, but I think it's probably more realistic to game toward that week, just knowing that you have a bye week next week. And then Lonnie, they haven't said much about Lonnie, but I don't expect him to be nearly as limited this week, and so they're hopeful there. And Hyshaw, I think, is a more extended injury, and they've not said anything officially or ruled anything out, but that's a pretty significant one to come back from. So I think what you've got right now in the running back room is what you're going to have, and that hopefully we'll see more emergence behind Devin Neal of Sevion Morrison and Kai Thomas. They really try to get Kai more reps in Norman, and he had his first touchdown in a Jayhawk uniform against OU. But personally, of the two, I think Sevion has the higher upside right now. Maybe long-term, that's a different answer, but Kai still looks like he's a little tentative and hesitant in hitting the hole, whereas Sevion, I think, has shown this coaching staff that if given an opportunity, he could really be a game-changing type back for Kansas. And they want to have a multitude of guys. You know, Devin Neal obviously has had good numbers when fed, but they want to keep it fresh. And I think that, you know, Devin would tell you that he needs to make more guys miss after that initial blocking at the line. And that's where you miss a guy like Deuce Hyshaw that can run through you, around you, by you. I think that while it was exciting to see all the touchdowns piled up for Devin Neal early in the season, it was pretty clear prior to the Hyshaw injury that he had emerged as our most impressive running back.
Yeah.
And, you know, to lose him, Daniels, and Kobe in consecutive weeks, three in a row, is about as tough as you'll see. So the good news is I think the degree of severity of injury on those three has gotten increasingly less and less severe. By that I mean Kobe will come back the quickest, Jalen will come back the second quickest, and then hopefully Daniel after that. But, you know, when you're right in the teeth of your schedule and you don't have a bye week until – you know, what is your ninth week of the regular season? Man, this club needs a week to heal some guys up, and that was a tough setback to see three straight injuries like that to key spots. But that's my read on it. That's not anything official from Coach, and I'm not speculating either. I'm just telling you that's I think the internal optimism on some of those guys and what it means for those around them and their position groups that have to carry the mail in the meantime.
I want to talk about the KU rushing attack for just a moment, and I see some similarities between KU and the Chiefs from this standpoint. And that is, I was a little bit surprised KU didn't run the ball more effectively against Oklahoma. I was sitting in the middle of a whole bunch of Oklahoma fans, and I even said, man, I think maybe we should run the ball a little bit more, take some pressure off the defense, or at least give them a longer chance to rest. And the guy, Oklahoma fan Brian, tells me, he goes, dude, we are horrible against the pass. You should never try to run it one time. He's just like, you should pass it against us left and right. And you know, the Chiefs get caught up in that sometimes where they maybe forget about the running game a little bit. And I don't think KU forgot about the running game. But it when you have a backup quarterback, Jason Bean, who lots of pressure on him, his first start of the season, and you're in a kind of a boat race, you know it right off the bat. I mean, you know, first four possessions, everybody scores a touchdown. What about that running game and trying to maybe take a little bit of pressure off of Jason Bean? And yes, I know Neal, they don't want him to carry it 30 times a game, and hopefully Morrison or Thomas could step up and help shoulder that load. But how important is that? Because not only did the defense have to be on the field for 100 plays, Brian, but now you turn around and you play a Baylor team that has an extra few days to prepare. KU's the one that has to travel. It's an 11 a.m. game. Baylor should be well rested. That's a team that does, it's capable of running the ball. I saw their offense against West Virginia. Of course, West Virginia's defense, not all that, I understand. But what about the importance of the KU running game to maybe take a little bit of pressure off of Beam, but also to maybe help that defense that was much maligned last Saturday?
Yeah, that's a good observation, and I think they want to establish the run more consistently. I think that and there's things they'd like to do with Jason more in keeping the ball on the ground, but again, being very mindful of keeping him healthy. And they never want to preach that too much to Jason, like, we don't want you to run, and if you do, get down, because then that could get in his head and he'll be really tentative. But he knows that there's not much behind him. Ethan Basco would be, you know, your next option, and so I think that, you know, that there's several things they can do with the pass and with the QB draw game that will put more, you know, opportunity and more running room for the running backs as well. So hopefully, you know, we'll see Kansas have some more success there. But I feel like, as I kind of alluded to earlier, Devin's needing to get to that second level and make the second level miss. He's done a nice job hitting the initial hole But, you know, making that second move that springs you for the big run, they'd like to see more consistency there. And then Sevion is a guy that, I mean, you've seen 40-yard runs out of him. You've seen how quickly he can accelerate in top gear. But getting him in space and getting him through that initial line as well is critical. I think those are the two guys that give you the best chance. Kai, I'm still trying to figure out where the guy went that ran for 140 yards and a touchdown in Minnesota's bowl game with West Virginia last year, because we've not seen him emerge yet. And yeah. Some of that, I think, is just, you know, different program, new offense, new role, trying to carve out your own niche, and he's just been hesitant. But you're right. I mean, the running game has to be more consistent. You know, ball control, you know, is going to help this Kansas defense and staying fresh by keeping KU's offense on the field and the defense resting a bit. And so hopefully it's a combination of all those things. But I also don't expect we're going to see 100 plays, you know, the rest of this season like we saw versus Oklahoma. And if we do see a team that runs that kind of tempo, hopefully we'll see Kansas do a better job on third down and get off the field so that maybe it's only 90 instead of 100 plays against it.
No doubt about it. All right, it's going to be a test. Every game the rest of the way is a test. There's no gimme in the Big 12, no doubt, with the improvement of the Jayhawks. And, you know, West Virginia just beat Baylor, and some people thought West Virginia might be the worst team in the Big 12. All right, time for the off-the-wall question for Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. And we talked about at the beginning of this interview. I want to ask Brian now, you have to pick one person on earth, to shoot a half-court shot for you or your favorite charity for $1 million, not 10,000, for $1 million. You get one guy or one person, one gal, it could even be yourself, I guess, but you can pick one person on earth to shoot a shot for $1 million and set you up for life. Who are you picking?
Well, if I have to pick him in the 66045 area code, it's Brennan Bouchard, our director of basketball operations, who in the first few seasons of the Bill Self $10,000 check thing, he was hitting them with regularity. And you know, he kind of developed the reputation during his playing days and then as a staffer that he's just a specialist in that regard. Maybe the best on the recent team was Mitch Lightfoot and Chris Tehan. They did it at the end of every practice. They were really good. But if my life depends on it, or as you said, $1 million for a charity depends on it, it's a slam dunk answer, and it's not close. The greatest shooter of my lifetime that I've ever seen from any range, whether it's 1 foot or 100 feet, is Steph Curry.
Yes.
So I'll take Steph Curry in a heartbeat, and I feel pretty good about it. Like, I feel like there was, you know, maybe a 48% chance he'd probably hit it.
Yeah.
So that's the easy answer there if you want a non-KU guy.
That was my answer as well. So great minds think alike. Hey, man, have a nice return trip to down south. This time you'll go to Waco. It's KU and Baylor. Another 11 a.m. start. Pregame at 10:30 on Z96.3 Lake, your home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. And, Brian, we always appreciate the time. And we'll talk about hopefully a W that makes KU bowl eligible coming up next Thursday.
Sounds good, buddy. Looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you each and every Thursday on the Sports Ticket by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do home, auto, life, crop, and farm insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Becky, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them at 738-5701.